Well, I'd like to welcome everybody to Mercersburg Mennonite Church. And as you can see, our front two rows are a little empty, as it's been mentioned that our youth group is at Deer Park. They will be heading back this afternoon. And there is a fellowship meal following this, so we welcome each one to join us, whether you brought food or not. Doug and Barb are here joining us this morning. Tim, come on forward, and we'll go ahead and start getting some things set up for them. It's exciting to have them come and share. It's been about, that's right, I told you I'd take that, didn't I? So it's been 6 years since they were here, and so for some of you, this now puts a face to the name in our prayer guide. And it's exciting to hear as they share, they are transitioning back home now. But I asked him where home was, and he said wherever the Lord called him and where he and Barb were. And I thought that was great. That's a great way to look at it. Home is where you and your wife are and where the Lord has called you. And so they're going to share what God is doing and also challenge us with a message about prayer. And then I will get up and close. So,
wow, God is good. Praise the Lord. We just are so thankful for the opportunity to share with you today. And we're thankful for your invaluable part. We sang in the early service something about little is much when God is in it. Little is much when God is in it. Whether it's a little bit or a lot, if God is in it, it is a lot. Your invaluable part in the work among the Yao in Malawi through your support of us. And so we're just thankful for that. You're a special congregation. I was overwhelmed 6 years ago with the sense of love and unity that I saw. And I said to Pastor Lloyd, I said, Lloyd, this is yours and Rachel's legacy, your service and your loyalty. So it's our privilege to dedicate our sharing today to Pastor Lloyd. We just completed our last term of service with Brethren in Christ U.S. World Missions in Malawi. In addition to the friendliness of Malawians and the warm, sunshiny weather, I think we're going to miss the most our teammates, which you'll hear a little bit more about. We're already enjoying time with family, and we're looking forward to frequent visits with our children and our grandchildren, and my dad, who's in personal care at Landis Homes in Lititz, Pennsylvania. As we reflect on our time, one of the biggest things that we've learned over the years is the power of prayer. In our personal and ministry updates, we have celebrated so many answers to prayer. God is good.
So we arrived back in the U.S. on September the 1st, and we are on home ministry from now until the end of January.
When you think about cross-cultural work, one of the most important things is language. So here's your language lesson. Sikomo means thank you. Can you say that? Sikomo. It also means you're welcome, or it's a greeting. It's an all-purpose word. Sikomo sie jinji. Ligongo li ama popelo gao. Ni chika muchisio chao. Masengo gan lungu ka kwende chenene no pe. Where's Pastor Dave? There should be an interpretation, shouldn't there? According to 1 Corinthians 14...
The interpretation is, thank you so much for your prayers. Because of them, the work in Malawi is going on very well.
We're so thankful for your love. Since I first met some of the members of this congregation back in the summer of 1981, your encouragement in our formative years and teaching us about service and loyalty. So we first arrived as a family of seven with our teammate on April Fool's Day, to be a fool for Christ. But as martyred missionary Jim Elliot said, he is no fool who gives up what he can't keep to get what he can't lose. Amen?
We're thankful for our children and for your prayers for them throughout the year. for throughout the years. This is Seth and Amy. They live in Carlisle with their daughter. Stephen and Rachel are in Dillsburg with their four children. Sarah and Sam are in Mechanicsburg. She's expecting number three in January. John and Susanna are in Fairfax, Virginia. They're expecting their third in a couple of weeks. Sharon and David were just married in December. They live in Salunga.
Part of our calling to work with the Yao, a historically hard-to-reach, unreached people's group, was the importance of being married to the land, to be there indefinitely. Initially, we didn't think that we'd work with the Yao because we thought they still needed more prayer, more miracles, for God to open a door. But that's where He sent us. And we felt led to take a stand to press through in prayer. There were many challenges, the greatest of which was Barb's paralyzing accident, but God's grace saw us through and carried us.
This is the bridge that I was crossing on my bicycle when I lost my balance and fell down about 18 feet into the dry stream bed below, crushing two vertebrae and causing immediate paralysis, of course. But as I was lying in the hospital in South Africa, I read a book about God's grace, and it described God's grace as a river. And you can choose to access His grace however you want. You can take a teaspoon and get a little spoonful at a time, or you can throw yourself into that river and allow yourself to be carried by God's grace. And that's exactly how I felt. I felt like I was just floating along on a river because of people's prayers for me.
We're so thankful for a tremendous answer to prayer to be able to rent an in-law suite, in-law apartment from our son Stephen and his wife Rachel in Dillsburg, close to Mechanicsburg.
So their house is on the left, and we live in the apartment behind it. I grew up as a PK. This is my family years ago. I accepted Christ as my Savior with my parents after a revival service. And later, while I was in high school, I totally dedicated myself to God, realizing that Jesus not only wanted to be my Savior, but also my Lord. My name, Barbara, means foreigner or stranger. And I took that as a purpose for my life, and Abraham as a role model. In Hebrews, it says that Abraham, when he was called, he obeyed and he went by faith.
Barb had literally been praying the title of a Sunday school musical, Please Don't Send Me to Africa. Partly because her parents were in their 80s, but God spoke to her through a sermon about Jesus saying, anyone who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. It was still the hardest thing her dad had ever done to let us go, but he did. We're so thankful for our family's response to God's call and their sacrifice to let us go. I also grew up as a PK, but in my case, I was a pagan kid. We had church affiliation. Did you get that one? But I didn't come to know Jesus personally until my first year of college. As a child growing up in an extended family of high achievers, I struggled to find acceptance and question my identity. I tried to find it in some honorable ways, like academics, sports, music, Boy Scouts, even church, but also in some shameful ways, and realized that I could not only not keep promises I had made to my parents, I couldn't keep promises I made to myself. Like Paul said in Romans 7, the good I want, I can't, and what I do, I hate. But after unexpectedly having the opportunity to read the Bible and to realize that God is holy and I am sinful, but that He is also loving and personal, He helped me to take that step of trusting Jesus, His death and resurrection, and finding forgiveness, salvation, and a relationship with me, with Him. So why missions? For me, it was a verse that jumped off the page in my daily Bible reading, Romans 15:20, where Paul said, "It's always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ is not known." This was the beginning of a call to the unreached, even though I didn't fully understand it at the time. It led me to changing my major in college, learning language, studying world development in Guatemala, and eventually attending a Bible college to train to be a missionary. From there, God called me to serve with the Kekchi Mennonite Church in Guatemala, which, as you know, is where I met Barb, who was teaching missionary children. From there, the Lord redirected us into pastoral ministry right here, where we spent some of the sweetest years of our lives, and where four of our five children were born. Fast forward, why Malawi? God used the Missions Perspectives class to remind us of our call to the unreached. Together as a family, we prayed and filled out a commitment card. Even before our missions conference at Fairview Avenue Brethren Christ Church in Waynesboro began. And then thanks to the shoulder tapping of our missions director and the affirmation of our lead pastor, God confirmed He was calling to us to church planting among the Yao with a vision for a movement of multiplication. Yao believers making disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And we praise God that now we are part of over 30 village fellowship groups. Those are those that we relate to. But the Lord is doing work through other ministries as well.
Malawi is in southern Africa. The Yao people originated in Mozambique, but are now also in Malawi and Tanzania.
We lived in the town of Mangochi, just south of beautiful Lake Malawi, the third largest lake in Africa, and commuted to local and remote rural Yao tribal villages.
There you can see that Malawi is bordered on the north by Tanzania, on the east and south and southwest by Mozambique, and on the northwest by Zambia.
Malawi is about the area of Pennsylvania, but the shape of New Jersey, whereas Pennsylvania has about 13 million in population, Malawi has 21, so we're more densely populated, especially as you can see that one-third of the country is lake,
one-fifth.
Our mission's involvement in Malawi has been two-pronged. One, leadership development among the Chewa, which is the largest tribe, the largest language group, and culturally Christian. So leadership training in the Bible colleges there with the Malawi Brethren Christ Church. And then the second prong has been church planting among the Yao, who were the slave traders in the 19th century and adopted the religion of their Arab trading partners. So you can see mostly Christian, a Christian country. English, the commercial language, Chichewa, the national language.
Many have found this prayer guide helpful in understanding the Yao culture. Each page has a little description of a cultural fact and two prayer requests that are related to it. We would really encourage you, be happy if you would follow this prayer guide. We have a, QR code back on our table that you can download onto your smartphone.
Let me just go back. You'll see that there's still a very, very, very small percentage of the Yao who've heard the good news of Jesus. And so, even though we're no longer there, we would encourage you to consider still praying for the Yao people. So we just praise God. Here's our ministry team. Consisting of Madalitso, which is Chichewa for blessings, but he's Yao by background, and his wife Ethel and their two children on the left, and Estel and Christian Bathurst and their five children on the right of the picture, former grain farmers from Kansas. We're so thankful for the love and the unity that we experience working with them.
So what does a missionary first do when he arrives? He studies the language.
Language is huge. Just the process of learning language helps you to humble yourself and to become teachable. And that attitude is going to serve you in all kinds of ministry, to continually be a learner, and it's going to serve you for the rest of your life as well. Just in the last 3 years, we've seen groups increase from 22 to 30 village groups, most of them through already existing groups. Half of them would be seekers, not yet believers, evangelistic Bible study groups, about half believers groups, which is up from about 11 to 15 in the last 3 years. But a key to that multiplication are our apprentice leaders, where we have 12 up from 7 in the last 3 years. Some of those in the picture were there to help prepare the meal for that apprentice leader's workshop. And one of our youngest apprentice leaders met with a brand new village this past week for the first time. The man in the orange shirt is the village chief.
One of our ways of ministering to the people is to provide grassroots compassion, in which we help people who have been victims of crises. Here, there a village is receiving bags of maize and other essentials after Cyclone Freddy in March.
Foundational to the ministry is prayer evangelism. Basically, applying the principles that we see in Luke chapter 10, where Jesus sent out the 72, and he commanded them to pray blessing on all those they come in contact with, not to continue going house to house, but to welcome those who welcome them, to heal the sick and tell them the kingdom is near. And through prayer evangelism, we've been able to build relationships of trust so that even village chiefs are free and safe to ask us how they can be saved.
We also recommend using this prayer devotional, another 30-day book that encourages you and shows you how to use the prayer, care, and share method of bringing your neighbors or being Jesus in your neighborhood.
The title is Be Jesus. In your neighborhood. Yep, sorry. One key to prayer evangelism that I think we sometimes miss, and it may be the most important part of the caring, is that as you pray for folks, to allow them to care for you. And I think as they see that you're generally humble and willing to receive their hospitality, their kindness, their friendship, then you're able to, I think, inevitably be at a place where they will share prayer needs, share more personal needs that you can pray about specifically.
Our approach to evangelism and discipleship is to use the chronological method, where we teach gradually from creation to Christ, which gives the Yao a good understanding of the gospel.
At after concluding those 68 lessons of our evangelistic phase, we used the John 3:16 diagram to review all of God's story. Just a very simple diagram: for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And we ask people if they would see this picture as a map, and you can do this anywhere on the back of a napkin or in the dirt, where would they be on this map? And most of them point to the upper right-hand corner. They say, when I ask, why are you pointing up there? They say, well, Jesus at the right hand of the Father, we're already in heaven. And we just thank the Lord for their testimonies of assurance of salvation.
There are approximately 70 baptized Yao believers in our fellowship groups.
18 were baptized just last month.
One new believer said, I'm going to take the name Stefano, because he said, now I'm a follower of Jesus, and like Stephen in the New Testament, I'm not going to be afraid of persecution. Another one said that he would reach out to others by first praying that God would reveal himself to them, taking the...
He's catching the vision.
The vision for
prayer first.
Evangelism.
A new practical part of the ministry there has been Crown Stewardship Ministries Foundation for Farming or Farming God's Way Training.
We're also thankful for this Yao Missionary Fellowship group that meets every Sunday afternoon for worship, for Bible study, and for prayer. They were a big support while we were there.
And as you can see, it wasn't just our organization that was working among the Yao. In our missionary fellowship, we have about 8 different nationalities, including national workers and denominations. We're also thankful for our partnership with the Malawi Brethren in Christ Church. Here we're pictured with former bishop, current bishop, regional administrators, and the official board. Now, this is why you came.
We really want to emphasize prayer.
Have you heard any references to prayer this morning? Yeah, this is one of the things that we're most thankful for. We think that this is one of the greatest learnings that we've had is just the power of prayer in our own personal lives, through the prayer support of prayer partners like yourselves and prayer warriors. One retired minister recently emailed me and asked if we would release him from his responsibility to pray for us because he's now on hospice. He said, but if God gives me strength at 93, I'll keep praying for you. How humbling is that? But also encouraging in realizing that the fruit that we have seen is because of people's obeying the call to pray. And so I'd like to encourage you to continue to let God grow your personal prayer life, beginning with you yourself, your intimacy with the Lord, basking in his presence, and learning to see what the Father is doing. John 5:19 says that the Son of Man can only do what he sees the Father doing. How many of you heard of the Asbury Revival this past spring? Do you know the backstory? There's an 18-year-old girl who accepted an assignment from the Lord to pray for each of her fellow students. And she would do that while she jogged, while she was in class. All the time she recruited others to join her in prayer. And look what the Lord did. Why is prayer so important? And why is prayer powerful? We touched on this a little bit in Sunday school this morning as we looked at the reality of evil in the lives of King Saul and David. Because we are at war, whether we realize it or not, we're at war. And prayer is part of the whole armor of God. What a great defensive weapon, also an offensive weapon, in praying in the Spirit at all times, with all kinds of prayers, for all God's people, especially those who may have a target on their back, like Pastor David and Glenda and their family. There's nothing the devil fears more than prayer. Not politics, not military might, not committees, not education. And I think that's why James wrote that if we take a stand in prayer, now don't forget, submit to God and resist the devil, he will do what? He will flee. James 4:7. The disciples must have realized that prayer was special because they didn't ask Jesus to teach them to do miracles or to preach. He asked them to teach them to pray. 19th century British revivalist Leonard Ravenhill said, "All earthly things will fade away, but prayer grasps eternity. Therefore, pray. Always pray." He also said, "No man, no matter how great, how large his church, how many books he's written, how far he's traveled, no man or woman is greater than their prayer life. Ask, seek, and knock. The door will be opened."
What does it mean to always pray and not give up? I don't think it means endless repetition, because Jesus taught against that. It means that we pray and we continually have hope. We know that, as it says in the parable, God loves us and he will answer. He's not like the unjust judge. He will answer in the perfect time.
We were talking to our granddaughter Ellie yesterday. She said, we were meditating on Matthew 6:31-32, where it says, "Don't worry," saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? Your Heavenly Father knows. So I said, "Ellie, what stands out to you?" She said, "My Father knows." She said, "But sometimes I get impatient." So we don't know what it means that he won't be like the unjust judge. He will answer quickly, but we do know it'll be in his perfect timing. Our weapons are not weapons of this world, but they're more powerful to demolish strongholds, those things that get in the way of people knowing, hearing, and seeing the truth of God's love.
Be Jesus in Your Neighborhood, this book we just referenced. In it, the author writes, "Intercession is crucial to God's government of the world. Things will happen when we pray that wouldn't have happened if we hadn't prayed. And things will not happen if we don't pray that would have happened if we had prayed. No wonder the kingdom is advancing. The gospel is spreading to every nation in the world. It's because of prayer."
We don't have to know how he's going to answer, but he's looking for us to stand in the gap. And Paul says, first of all, pray for all people, all leaders, because God wants all people to be saved. As you pray, imagine God's power being released to your family, to your friends, even to Washington. We have Election Day on Tuesday, local elections, whatever's going on. Imagine God's power being released to Israel, to the Ukraine, to missionaries, and our neighbors. Prayer can release blessing and bring change anywhere in the world without us even leaving our place of prayer. And God has given us that awesome power.
Please pray particularly for workers.
Yes, even just our own organization, we had about 10 families as soon as only 5 years ago, and now we're down to 3, and one family's leaving next spring.
That's in Southern Africa.
In Southern Africa, yes. So, will you pray for workers? Let me see if I can get a show of hands. People watching on live stream, raise your hands, both hands. Will you pray for workers? Jesus said when he saw the crowds, he was moved with compassion. The Lord knows people's needs better than we do ourselves, and it's his compassion that can do something about it. But what did he say? He said, pray to the Lord. It's his work, to the Lord of the harvest, to send forth laborers into his harvest field. Now, warning, that verse is in the end of chapter 9, but you know what comes at the beginning of chapter 10? Jesus sent out the 12. Okay, so you might be on the hook. You might be one of the ones that he sends. However he sends you, whatever he calls you to do, but pray for the harvest. And if we ask, he will send. Just like he raised up Modelitzo, a Yao national worker, to be a part of our team, and he's giving leadership to the team, and he's so faithful and responsible. And then he also sent the Bathurst. Amazing answers to prayer for us over the last few years. In fact, speaking about workers, just our own organization, I'm not sure about Eastern Mennonite Missions, but there are over a dozen approved posts through our organization for global workers to go to Asia, Africa, South America, Europe, and the U.S. The need is great.
We praise God for a smooth transition for us so far, and also for successful cataract surgery for me.
You've been able to greet people and to look them in the eye, huh? Okay.
Yes.
And read a little bit? Okay.
Yes. For 18 Yao believers who were just baptized last month, and for the new Seekers group.
Please pray for my dad. He had a mini stroke last Saturday. I'm thankful that he still has a very positive attitude, but it would be lovely if he wouldn't feel as frustrated to put some words to the thoughts that he has going through his head. Pray for our daughter Susanna, expecting the end of this month, and Sarah in January for safe births. Pray for the salvation in this new Seekers group, Village 31 we'll call it, and for good rain, successful implementation of farming, foundations for farming for those that are doing that, and for spiritual growth among the Yao believers and the apprentice leaders. And we've been talking about the power of prayer. Let's just pause and pray in agreement for these requests. Lord, thank you for this congregation and their partnership, even to pray for us personally. And Lord, we lift up my dad, their Atlantis homes, and pray, Lord, that you would just give him peace and somehow help him to have his ability to communicate restored. Pray for Susanna and Sarah for safe births later this month and in January, and for these seekers in Village 31 for their salvation. For good rains, Lord, during this growing season, and for success with the Foundations for Farming program, and for spiritual growth of all of our Yao brothers and sisters and our apprentice leaders. In Jesus' name, amen. So I mentioned that we've been talking about prayer, but let's not get confused. Prayer doesn't save us and make us more worthy to God. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. It's God's grace that saves us. It's God's grace that enables us. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith. This has nothing to do with you. It's a gift of God. It's not of works, so that no one will boast. Then he says, but you are God's workmanship, created in Christ to do good works, which he's prepared in advance to do. So it's a message of grace. It's not complicated, it's not hard, and it's not impossible. The message of grace is Jesus himself. It's not religion, it's not rules. All that stuff focuses the attention on us. We don't compare ourselves with each other, we don't focus on numbers, but we celebrate what God is doing and is able to do in and through us. And you get to walk. It's a message of grace. You get to walk with that message. So even the work of prayer is done with a confidence and a dependence, not in us, but trusting in Him, the only one who can do what He can do. It's a message of grace. And so that's why I'd like to close with a benediction. It was my father-in-law Barb's dad's favorite benediction, and it's a word that we shared in our village farewell visits. We commit you to God and to the word of His grace, which can build you up, inspire you, encourage you, enable you, and also give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Do I hear an amen? Amen. You received it. Praise God. Thank you.
As they were sharing, and one thought I have is that I always challenge you guys when we have missionaries come is because I want to remind us that we are missionaries too. And I don't know if you noticed, because I think we tend to forget that we're called to be missionaries, disciples making disciples, but we can tend to forget that we have a sign above our door that says, you are now entering the mission field. And if you think, well, if I don't go through the double doors, I'm safe, you'll look at the single door if you exit after the fellowship meal. It says it there too, that you are entering the mission field. And what I find interesting is that twice now I've kind of challenged us to use the bless method. Be in prayer, listening, eating, serving, and then sharing your story. And they just challenged us with that book that was called For Prayer, Care, and Share. I think that there's something to this that we should take serious about being in prayer before we go, being in prayer about the moments and opportunity. And as they were sharing and challenging us, I happened to think about, do you guys know what we're entering now? It's November. Do you realize it's November? I mean, how did this happen? Life is like, you know, passing by. What's November? But Thanksgiving's coming up. Family get-togethers. It can be a time of anxiety, but I challenge us, maybe it's a time we should be in prayer for those that we're going to encounter at these different gatherings as we enter this holiday season, to be in prayer about opportunities to listen, be in prayers and opportunities as we share, eat, and listen, and then maybe share the story of why we need Jesus, share the story of why we believe God's word is the Bible. But speaking of eating, we have food waiting for us, so let's stand as we close in prayer, if you're able, and then we will have a closing prayer, and I'll pray for the meal, and then just exit through these two doors, and then the doors to the fellowship hall, and let's partake. And then Doug and Barb have a table out here. Please stop by, visit them, and check out their display as they share their missions and as it comes to a close. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your great love. And Lord, I thank you for the challenge. And I thank you for Doug and Barb and just the blessing that as they have bestowed upon us a challenge of prayer. And as we celebrate the ministry, as they have served you faithfully. And Lord, I pray for their marriage now as they transition back to now this new chapter in their lives that you have for them. And Lord, I just pray that that their marriage continues to grow closer as they grow closer to you. For Lord, I believe that we are always called to be continuing to serve and to share this wonderful news that we have of Jesus Christ. I believe that's a challenge for each one of us. But I pray that each one of us has taken this serious, what it means to be a believer, to follow Jesus, to have died to ourselves, that Christ now lives within us, that we're new creations. Lord, I pray that as we share it, that we've already been in prayer and that we've listened to these people, understand where they're coming from. And Lord, that we're just anxious and excited to share because of what you're doing in our lives. And that we don't do it out of a responsibility, but do it out of because of the love you bestowed upon us. And so, Lord, I just pray that now also as we dismiss and we go to a time of fellowship and food, we thank you for the food that is before us. And we just ask you bless our fellowship and our time together. And Lord, most of all, we thank you for your son, Jesus, who died on the cross and rose again on the third day. And it is in his name we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters, thank you for time and thank you for your time and attention. Go in the love, peace of Jesus Christ. You're dismissed.